Well, Mr. Brady, Ike is still having an impact on a lot of folks in District 8. Is progress being made finally in getting the housing situation resolved for them?
I think starting to, it's been terribly slow, and especially in Southeast Texas where Rita had already taken out all the housing. There's just no hotels, no apartments. And so we've been pushing hard for homes right there in the driveways or mobile homes nearby. There's been a lot of red tape, but we had a good meeting over the weekend with FEMA, Entergy, and Department of Energy, where we've really, I think, streamlined getting electricity to trailers. We identified solutions on how to accelerate getting these trailers to the homes. And I predict over the next 10 days, you're going to see a significant acceleration of homes in Southeast Texas that are desperately needed, by the way, but I think are going to be welcomed by all those who are either sleeping on soggy mattresses near their home, at their home, or commuting 90 miles from the nearest hotel. I think we're going to see a real progress.
Those are the people who really wanted the bureaucratic red tape out of the way.
Well, we often say it's one thing to get hit by Hurricane Ike, it's another thing to get hit by Hurricane Red Tape. We've been fighting to get through that disaster, but I think we're finally seeing some light at the end of the rainbow. And the reason is we've got everyone in the room, FEMA, Entergy, which has done a terrific job, and other organizations. So we get them in a room, work through the process, identify shortcuts. This is getting done.
And speaking of red tape, that also came up in the whole situation involving prisoners in Texas jails and prisons being able to make cellular phone calls to members of the state legislature, to their prosecutors, even people on their juries.
This last week, Texas identified tens of thousands of phone calls that were being made, even to the victims' families, and to run criminal activity out of the prisons, some on death row. But Texas prisons can't block those cellular phones because of the Federal Communications Commission. So last week, we sent a letter to the FCC saying, you need to either give us a common sense exception for prisons, or we're going to introduce legislation that creates the ability for state prisons like ours to block those cell phones transmissions.
What seemed weird about it is that federal prisons have been able to do this all along. It was the local prison.
And I tell you what, one, we should be stopping cell phones from getting in prisons anyway. But secondly, the thought of someone on death row calling the victim's family, taunting them, harassing them after all they've been through, that's just wrong. So it's time to shut that down.
And a lot of the people who feel like they got hit hard by Ike were also wondering how come when they left their homes, they couldn't get their refund from the IRS, they couldn't get their stimulus check. At a time when they needed it most, we saw close to 40,000 Texans had their checks returned to sender, back to the IRS.
Well, it's really important that if you haven't received your economic stimulus check for the year, to come to our website, and we've got a link there where you can check to see if perhaps they've got a bad address for you. If the IRS does, they're holding your check. So we encourage people to go online, make sure that they're not one of those who've got a wrong address, a mistake was made somewhere, because we want you to get that money.
It's never been more needed in District 8 than right now.
That's true. And plus, we also have discovered that a number of people from Hurricane Ike will not be able to file their taxes. We got an extension for them till January 5th, but they're worried about getting their economic stimulus checks. I visited with the head of the IRS this past week, and he assured me that if people get in their taxes by mid to late November, they're going to get their check this year. And they'll still get it next year, but we always think the sooner the better.
We're already hearing talk from the Democrats on the Hill that they want another stimulus plan. And it seems like every day there's new things being added to this big Christmas tree, new bright lights and shiny balls. Do you think that's going to happen?
I'm worried that this second stimulus bill is just going to be a big spending spree, a Christmas tree of special projects doled out to states that Washington might like or their friends in Medicaid or, whatever their pet projects are. I support extending unemployment benefits for those states that are really struggling. That makes sense. But coming up with a list of spending projects that don't make much sense, that won't help our economy. I really think we need to focus on, how do we make sure these homes aren't foreclosed upon? How do we make sure that we're creating more jobs? How are we making sure we work out of this recession as quick as possible? That's what Congress ought to focus on, not another spending spree.
And this is bringing you back up to Washington this week.
And this week, the House Ways and Means Committee that I serve on and the Joint Economic Committee that I serve on will both be tackling the economy and the second stimulus proposal. Again, I think it's important we not play politics with this bill. We not load it up with a bunch of pork barrel projects. There are too many people without jobs and who have seen their life savings disappear in front of their eyes. That's who we need to think about.